This is Briar Klopp, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Greenbush, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman. For the cattle industry, the most significant border crossing in decades has happened. New World Screwworm has been confirmed in a three-week-old calf 30 miles northeast of the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas. Tests are now being conducted at the National Veterinary Services Laboratory in Ames, Iowa. This is the first screwworm case in the United States in 60 years.
The USDA is moving quickly after confirming the New World Screwworm case in South Texas. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says federal and state officials have already launched an aggressive response to contain the pest and prevent further spread.
We have, number one, formed a unified incident command team with the Texas Animal Health Commission and deployed our APHIS response team and personnel to the area. They are already on the ground. We have established a 20-kilometer infested zone around the detection and implementing quarantines, movement controls, and surveillance in this area. We have expedited targeted release of the sterile New World screwworm flies, which is how we solve for the issue, of course, by immediately deploying 4 million ground release chambers in the area, in addition to the 4 million sterile flies per week already being released aerially in the area.
Rollins emphasizing that New World screwworm is not a food safety issue and says animals treated early can fully recover. She says strict movement controls will be critical because the pest spreads primarily when infected animals are moved by people.
The call to action here, the response to this pest, will entail our producers and companion animal owners to follow animal movement guidelines and restrictions and not move animals near the zone without proper treatment and inspections in place. This fly typically moves great distances because humans move animals, not because the fly flies to new areas. This is a really important point. The only way this spreads is through animal movement.
USDA has also deployed additional detector dogs along the border, says inspections of pets crossing into the U.S. will be increased, and officials say the infestation zone remains limited to South Texas, but surveillance efforts are being expanded.
Maddock, North Dakota rancher Travis Maddock is a member of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association officer team. Maddock says the industry has been preparing for this potential situation for the past 18 months as NWS moved north through Mexico.
From our standpoint, this really isn't a market event. The market's already baked this in. The Mexican border has been closed for a year and a half now. And what we want consumers to know that this is not a consumer threat at all. This is not a human health hazard. This has nothing to do with the wholesomeness of meat or the quality of meat. What this is just an animal health issue. And just like we did it before, we're going to eradicate it again. We're confident in not only our government, but our industry's ability to meet this challenge. And I think hopefully this will be short-lived.
A 20-kilometer zone around the detection site has been established, shutting down cattle movement in the affected areas.
So they'll just stop the movement of cattle for about 72 hours. All right. And that's going to allow USDA and state veterinarian and health officials to kind of get their arms around where it's at, what's going on, and then they'll move into the next step. So for right now, it's not a quarantine or anything like that. It's just, we're just going to stop the commercial movement of cattle across county lines and into sale barns and things like that. So there'll be a little disruption along the border there. It'll be up to USDA what the scope of that is, but that's what'll happen next.
Again, screwworm, not a food safety issue. However, Ag Bull Trading President Tommy Grisafi believes there is potential for confusion with consumers.
Secretary of Ag Rollins even said in her press conference last night that President Trump was very much supporting her efforts in screwworm, but she joked that she had to explain to him that screwworm wasn't actually a worm, it was a fly, and she was laughing about it during the press conference, and it just shows how much confusion's in it. So my point is, as it hits the mainstream media and everybody's looking for something to talk about besides the Iran war, it's just going to have a negative effect. It kind of brings me back to the days when Oprah said she wasn't going to eat a hamburger, and it's very powerful when something like this happens.
On Monday, the CME Group expanded daily price limits for cattle futures after live cattle futures hit the initial limit of $8.50 on the first day of trading. Limits will expand to $12.75. For feeder cattle, the transition goes from $10.75 to $16.
A limit down on this move would be equivalent to what in our minds would be like a double limit down. And it wouldn't shock me to see those prices trade on the opening quote.
Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller is criticizing the USDA response to screwworm, saying the Agriculture Department has moved too slowly and is relying on an ineffective approach.
We have the ability to stop it, but so far we're not using our best tools. We're continuing to use 100-year-old technologies, sterile flies. There's a called the SWAS system. It's screwworm adult suppression system, and it consists of fly bait. You put out the fly bait. It eliminates 85 to 95% of the flies. Then you can control the remainder with the sterile flies. But for some reason, the USDA refuses to do this. I put that information in the hands of the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins. I put it in the hands of the head of the Texas Animal Health Commission 3 times, but they refuse to use it.
If an animal is suspected of being infected with screwworm, USDA is asking ranchers to contact state or federal animal health officials. Miller told Texas reporters he doesn't expect that to happen.
If you're a rancher and you get screwworm, they want you to report it so they can quarantine your ranch. Now, if I get a screwworm on my place, I'm going to treat my animal, and I'm not telling anybody because I don't want to be quarantined. That means no cattle can move off my place. I can't sell my cattle. I can't ship them. I can't move pastures. So nobody is going to report when they have a screwworm fly. They're just not. They'll just treat it themselves and hope nobody finds out.
Severe weather remaining a concern across parts of the northern plains and upper Midwest today. The National Weather Service says isolated severe thunderstorms possible this afternoon and evening across portions of North Dakota, South Dakota, and western Minnesota. With large hail, damaging winds, and localized heavy rainfall, the primary threats. Areas of central and northeast South Dakota facing a level 2 out of 5 severe weather risk, where hail larger than 2 inches and isolated tornadoes can't be ruled out. Far south central North Dakota could see hail up to quarter size and wind gusts approaching 60 miles per hour. And forecasters say the active weather pattern is expected to continue into the weekend and into next week, with additional opportunities for strong to severe storms across the region. The Mend on rainfall totals, Morton, North Dakota, 2.3 inches. Crary, North Dakota, had 2.03 inches. 1.13 inches in Glendon, Minnesota. Morris, Minnesota, 94 hundredths, and Ada, Minnesota, reporting 61 hundredths of an inch yesterday.
The Red River Farm Network coverage of the North Dakota FFA Convention is sponsored by the North Dakota Corn Council, North Dakota Farmers Union, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Proceed, North Dakota Beef Commission, and NDFB. FFA is more than the blue jacket and judging contest. State President Cole Anderson is most proud of the relationships he's made and the impact of the FFA.
Everyone hammers home our kind of 2 points is agriculture and leadership. Those are the 2 things it builds, but I've seen so much throughout this year. I've had countless members talk to me about how this organization's helped them come out of their comfort zone and really just develop skills that they probably wouldn't have otherwise developed just from traditional education that we see in school. And it's just incredible to see our members grow over this past year. I think that's been almost, if not the most rewarding thing that I've seen this entire year. Is
the new officer team will be announced this morning.
I'm excited to see this next group of people. We have an incredible lineup of people that ran this year, and just incredibly great to see where they're going to go and see all they're going to do.
National FFA officer JL Cruikshank is at the North Dakota FFA convention, the 6th of 9 state conventions on her schedule this year. In addition, Cruikshank is part of the new strategy plan for the FFA.
We're really looking at data-driven decisions, so how can we continue to look at that data and make decisions based on that, but also really staying true to our roots of agriculture. And so I know that's something been a top priority for some time. So just fun decisions like that, that the national officers get to have a say on the board of directors, and knowing that we're here to represent the students. So I get to come to conventions and hear students' opinions on topics and then bring it back to that board of directors and speak on behalf of them, which is a really cool opportunity.
Cruikshank is the Western Regional Vice President. She's an Oregon native and will be attending Oklahoma State once her year in national office comes to an end.
The stars came out last night at the North Dakota FFA convention. The star farmer, Molly Hansen of Carrington FFA, Colton Shu of Wilton earning the Star in Agribusiness Award, Alex Kraft of Rugby, the Star in Agricultural Placement, Aiden Fisher of the Scranton FFA chapter is the Star in Agriscience. These individuals will now represent North Dakota at the National FFA Convention. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you are in tune with the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network, and Red River Farm Network coverage of the North Dakota FFA Convention is sponsored by North Dakota Corn Council, North Dakota Farmers Union, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Proceed, North Dakota Beef Commission, and North Dakota Farm Bureau. A year ago, Michaela Kraft and Kristen Bauer were nervously waiting to hear their name announced as a member of the North Dakota State FFA officer team.
My emotions were everywhere. I was scared. I was excited. I was nervous. But if I had to tell the next person, I would say that it's all going to work out. And whatever happens is happening for a reason.
That's the current state vice president, Michaela Kraft. State Secretary Kristen Bauer said her year as a state officer has delivered many unexpected moments.
I think the thing that stood out to me most was when you sign up for a position like this, you don't really think about specific moments. You think of like being out there on the stage, but there's really a lot more behind the scenes work. Like I spent like an hour and a half steaming banners. Like you never would have thought that, oh, my year of service is going to be steaming banners. So it's just those little things that you never would expect.
North Dakota FFA State Sentinel Tate Nordby says one of the biggest goals of the state officer team has been helping members grow both personally and professionally.
This year, I spent most of my time preparing for sessions, trying to run lines, practice, making sure it's all perfect condition so we can run a smooth session that doesn't have any hiccups. And I really enjoyed it since we get to mingle with members, we get to encourage them for the events, and really just try and help them do the best that they can, since we want FFA to grow more, and we want them to grow as individuals and even as teams, getting to see people bond and helping people as much as we can.
Nordby encourages FFA members to step outside their comfort zones, meet new people, and build relationships. He says networking and personal growth are among the greatest benefits the organization has to offer. Again, today, the final day of the North Dakota FFA Convention. They'll be naming their new officer team in the morning general session. Checking in on the markets for this morning, we are looking at some weakness in most of the trade. The exception is in wheat. We're a half penny higher for July Minneapolis wheat, 626 and three quarters. Chicago wheat for September, a quarter penny higher. Hard red winter wheat for July, down by 1.5. July corn, 427 and three quarters, 3 3/4 down. New crop corn, 455 and three quarters, down 4. Soybeans, July, 6 3/4 lower, 1147 and a quarter, the quote. New crop at 1160 and a half, down 6 3/4 cents. Again, the big news coming after the markets closed yesterday, the confirmation of New World screwworm in the United States, some 30 miles off the U.S.-Mexican border in South Texas. That'll certainly have an influence on the cattle trade when that market opens up this morning. And as we look to the farm calendar, as mentioned, the FFA convention wrapping up today in Fargo. North Dakota Stockmen's Association with their district roundups. They'll be in Hanford, North Dakota this evening, starting at 5 o'clock. Among the speakers, State President Randy Schmidt and Julie Ellingson, the executive director of the association. Ag Tech Week next week in the Fargo-Moorhead area. The Midwest Ag Summit will be held on Tuesday. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. This is the Red River Farm Network.